Well, welcome this morning. This morning we're going to be looking at the priests coming to the Jordan River, and when their feet enter the Jordan, of course the priests are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and it parts the waters so that it gives clear passage for the Israelites to cross the Jordan into the Promised Land. And so we're looking at this idea of being taken to the edge of the Jordan. And what we're going to see today is that this is about the children of Israel representing all the goods and the truths that the Lord has built up in our memory through our reading and hearing of spiritual matters, and how these things, when they remain on the outside, they don't accomplish a lot. But as these things begin to move into the life represented by the land of Canaan into a more interior level, then they become something that is really a part of us and can begin to work at eradicating those things within us that are born of our selfishness that stops the Lord working in our life. And so we need a means by which we can cross over, that these goods and truths that we have in our memory can cross over into our life. And the means by which that happens is the priests. The priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, who carry the Word. So what we're going to be looking at today is what these priests are within us. Because this is a faculty of the mind that enables this crossing or this shift in state to occur. So our reading this morning from the book of Joshua is chapter 3, verses 5 to 17. And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.'" So Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap." So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan, so that the waters that went down to the sea of the Araba, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. We have a reading this morning from the work The Apocalypse Explained, paragraph number 700, part C. Reading from subsection 12 and reading subsection 13. The miracle involving the parting of the Jordan signifies the introduction of the faithful into the church and through the church into heaven. The sons of Israel mean here, in the spiritual sense, the faithful, who after enduring temptations, which are signified by their wanderings in the wilderness, are brought into the church. For the land of Canaan, into which the sons of Israel were brought, signifies the church, and Jordan signifies the first entrance into it, and the waters of Jordan signify truths that introduce into it, which are such as those of the literal sense of the word, for those are what first introduce. But here Jordan and its waters signify the falsities of evil which conduct towards hell, since the land of Canaan was then filled with idolatrous nations, which signify evils and falsities of every kind which constitute hell. For this reason these were to be driven out, that there might be a place for establishing the church. Because the waters of Jordan then signified the falsities of evil, they were parted and removed to give passage to the sons of Israel who were to represent the church. Now as the Lord alone removes and scatters the falsities of evil that are from hell, and by his divine truths introduces the faithful into the church and into heaven, and as the ark and the law enclosed in it represent the Lord in relation to divine truth, it was commanded that the ark should go before the people and thus lead them. This is why it came to pass that as soon as the priests bearing the ark dipped their feet in the waters of Jordan, those waters were divided and went down, and the people passed over on dry land, and after this was done the waters returned. Then these same waters signified truths that introduce, for Jordan was the first boundary of the land of Canaan, and that land, when the sons of Israel had entered into it, represented the church, and that river introduction into it. We should be well acquainted now that with this idea that the whole of the population of the Israelites that have been traveling through this wilderness for some 40 years, they represent the full complex of goods and truths from the Lord's Word. And so as such, these are the things that form the basis for the spiritual life, for our spiritual growth and development, and they open up a person's consciousness to the things of the Spirit in life. Now, the truths of the Word, when understood in the light of the teachings for spiritual Christianity, these are designed to give form to the spiritual mind on the level of awareness that we dwell. So in this natural level of life, these truths are able to give form to something spiritual by which we can connect with what is higher than what is present and obvious to our senses. So it gives us a perception of higher things, of things that cannot be seen with the senses. So without these truths from the Lord's Word, we are in fact blind, deaf, dumb, lame, and maimed in regards to spiritual things. So where the people represent what populates the mind, in terms of those people's being goods and truths, the land that they stand on, that they move through, that they have their being in, this represents the ground of the human mind itself. So lands have boundaries and divisions. And in those boundaries and divisions of the lands that we find in the Word, we are able to see the boundaries and divisions that exist within the human mind. In our story today, we see that there are divisions within the mind that can be represented by rivers. These streams of thought move in different ways, depending on the mental landscape that shapes them, even as the character of a river is formed by the physical landscape it flows through. Narrow, rigid forms between hard rock surfaces create conditions for raging torrents and mirrors rigid forms of thought that are inflexible, and these carry powerful emotions. Wider, more expansive landforms see larger, more peaceful flows as far as rivers are concerned. And so these mirror states of love that allow for gentler movements and responses. The natural boundary that Jordan River forms separates the land of that area into two broad areas, the wilderness on one side and Canaan on the other side. The things without or beyond Jordan represent those things belonging to the more external regions of the mind. Those within the boundary of the river represents what is relatively more internal. And what is more internal, or when we talk about what is more internal, we're talking about what is more really us. That we're talking about those states that we tend to dwell in for the majority of the time, states of life that we're actually in. So with the children of Israel being outside or without the land of Canaan across the Jordan, we see represented there a state of mind where the goods and truths of the Lord's word are found in the exterior part of the mind. And as they reside there, they belong to the memory, which is the most exterior realm of the mind, the natural memory. So as yet, these goods and truths, they don't yet make up the actual inner life of a person. We can see that the more internal aspect of the life is described in our story today, that it is filled with Canaanites, or what is of the loves of self and the world. So our story then is a story of how goods and truths of the word battle their way from being something of our memory to becoming our very life. And so it is for a long time that our knowledge of spiritual things resides on the external level of the mind, in the memory. And they sit there prior to moving into the more interior psychological space represented by Canaan. And when they begin to enter that realm of Canaan within us, then these goods and truths, in particular the truths, can be used to confront the enemies of the spiritual life that dwell there. Now, over the last few weeks, we have seen that certain acknowledgements must take place in regards to truths before this shift can actually begin to happen. We must pass through that state called shittim, which is the acknowledgement that the Lord alone has power to deliver us from the evils and falsities that populate our minds or the inner land of Canaan. So in verse 5 today, we are taught that the word continually seeks to move us forward. It instructs us on every page, in every statement, to sanctify ourselves, for tomorrow Jehovah will do wonders amongst you, or in the midst of you, or within you. To sanctify ourselves is to be in the effort to receive the Lord's love and wisdom into our life. This involves us taking the truths of the word and using them to purify our emotional and intellectual life. And this is an ongoing work and the key responsibility if we want to live a spiritual life. Everywhere in the Word and in the heavenly doctrines, the Word or Jehovah speaks, and it is constantly saying to each one of us, sanctify yourselves and enter into the work that makes a life of charity its goal. Now the use of the word tomorrow here means that the Lord is constantly looking to take us further by bringing us into a richer and more fulfilling experience of heaven by means of the Word. This tomorrow is a perpetual tomorrow, a perpetual desire of the Lord to move us into those states of life He desires for us. And those who are engaged in this inner work realize that it is indeed Jehovah Himself as the Word that works miraculous changes in our midst. This is the tomorrow spoken of. It is not a day as such, but is a state that is initiated every moment of our life when we affirm the place of the Lord as the Word in our life. Now, Joshua is the understanding of the Word that comes into being when there is a desire to apply it to our inner life. So when we desire to apply it to life and are willing to face our evils and falsities, then there is awakened within us a faculty that serves in the function of the priests to whom Joshua is said to speak. So Joshua, or the Word, speaks to the priests. In other words, the Lord speaks into the priestly faculty within us. And it is this faculty that hears what the Word is saying. We can all read the Word, but we don't always hear what it is saying. This is why the Lord often used the phrase in the Gospels, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In those times when the Word really speaks to us, in the sense that we not only hear it, but we have ears to hear, that is, we find ourselves compelled to respond to it, for the ear means obedience. This is when we find ourselves experiencing what is meant here by priests, by the priests. When we really hear the Word and we are motivated, inspired to respond, then that is our experience of the priests being active within our being. So priests, as we saw last time, have to do with the things of the will, the things of love in the spiritual life. And so these manifest as a desire to have all that is within us conform to the pattern, or to the heavenly pattern, that the Lord might be more fully present with us. And that pattern is revealed in the Word and in the heavenly doctrines. So these truths, as we take them in, they become organized into a form. And that form is the Lord within us, for He flows into it and is present with us by means of it. So the Word really speaks to us when what is the priests in us hear it. And we can know that it's heard because we will be inspired to elevate, to lift up the Ark of the Covenant, or have the Word take a much more central role in governing and leading our life. So it is that the Ark of the Covenant becomes a reference point, a rallying point for the whole nation of Israel to follow. And so when the Word is truly valued in our midst, we find that every truth that we have in our minds that have been stored up in our memory from the Word begins to be reorganized, bringing about a change or a movement in our understanding. And as that occurs, so we are led to the edge of ourselves, represented by the edge of the Jordan River, the edge of the waters. We are brought face to face with what blocks the way. So taken on an inward level, because the priests are what hear the Word in a way that inspires us to act in regard to spiritual matters, we can perhaps see that the inner priests of our mind are closely related to the faculty of our conscience. Now, genuine spiritual conscience is one that is built up through the practice of truths from which there is developed a sensitivity to what is opposed to a genuine spiritual life. The priests are those who receive this command to take up the ark. And so they have to do with something connected with responding, connected with our will, our new will that the Lord is creating within us. For it is the will that carries the word on a personal level for us and keeps us conscious of its presence in our life and of our need to work with it in every situation and circumstance we face in external life. It's important that we don't get caught up in the torrent of emotion. And so this is why we need these priests, because these priests within us are able to lift up the ark, the word for us, and it is the word that should lead us, not our emotions. These things need clearing out so that the word can be established as the source of our life. So we read that after the priests had been commanded by Joshua concerning the Ark of the Covenant in verse 7, Jehovah then said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to make you great in the eyes of Israel, so that they shall know that as I was with Moses, I am with you." Now whenever it says in the word that Jehovah speaks, we are talking about spiritual influx. Influx into the mind that arises as insight or a sense of something being required of us in a particular situation. So remember, Joshua is our understanding of the word. So Jehovah speaking to Joshua is what we are able to receive from the Lord through the word. Now this makes complete sense when we see that the priests who hear Joshua is our desire to do the word, to respond, and that this is activated by obeying truths. And when we obey truths, we find that insights and perceptions arise to guide and direct our life, which is the voice of Jehovah speaking through the word or to Joshua. So there's an important principle being illustrated here, and it is a principle that is repeated constantly throughout the Word and the heavenly doctrines, and it is this: we only receive further insights as we put the truths we currently have into practice. What this means is that we cannot see our way forward if we will not work with what truths are highlighting in our lives in the present moment. We experience this law as a recurrence, often, of issues and problems in our life. You see, we are inclined to avoid facing the unpleasantness, the pain and the suffering that comes with letting go of the old and entering into the new, especially when it involves facing uncharitable attitudes we hold that go against how we like to view ourselves. But the spiritual law is straightforward. It is clear. Influx flows into our effort to live from the Word. In our doing of what the Word asks for us, allows more light to come in to our life. So this spiritual law means that it is only when we act upon truths in accordance with the order of our life, only then can the Lord implant more and so lead and guide us further in the life of heaven. When Jehovah says to Joshua that he shall become great in the eyes of Israel, it means that this new phase of life involving acting on our understanding of truths, that this is to become the dominant aspect of our approach to spiritual life. So before, as we saw with Moses, being a gathering of an understanding of spiritual things based more in the realm of the external part of our life, so Moses is great then. We are inspired to seek out knowledge, to grow and to develop in our understanding. And so Moses is seen as great. And that part of the word, that response to the word, is necessary and appropriate in that state and stage of spiritual life. But here now Joshua must become great. Joshua must become great in the eyes of Israel, that is, in the understanding of truths. So our understanding of truths, which is what the eyes of Israel are, Joshua, putting the word into life and practice, must become great. It must become the dominant aspect of our approach and response to spiritual life. The next instruction we find is in verse 8, where it says, "The priests were to stand in the Jordan when they came to its edge." So we see that if we follow the word, we will be brought to the edge of our inner Jordan River. We recall that these, in our reading from the Apocalypse, explained that the Jordan River are the falsities of evil that exist within us, that flow out of the loves of self and the love of the world. So in other words, we will be brought face to face with what is in us that prevents us from crossing over into the heavenly life, from moving further into the loves of heaven, love to the Lord and love towards our neighbor. We need to move forward sincerely in response to the Lord's word. And because we do so from a very basic understanding of spiritual realities, we will have feelings of unsureness. We may feel a little insecure, but that is the nature of what the word asks of us. It asks us to trust it, not ourselves. And when we're moving away from trusting in ourselves to trusting in the word, there is a period of unsureness. But we must understand that even a basic understanding, when responded to sincerely, has great power. It has great power. The faith of a grain of mustard seed, the Lord tells us, can move mountains. And in the case of our story today, the feet of the priests can stop that raging torrent of evils and falsities that block our way. And they can make a clear way for the goods and truths that we have acquired from the word to become established in the more internal dimension of our life. The simple desire to be obedient is represented by the feet of the priests carrying the ark and entering the Jordan River. This simple desire, coupled with the simplest of truths, when put into action, truths such as those found in the Ten Commandments, is the firm footing on which the spiritual life ultimately stands. Moving from knowing to practice in the spiritual life is achieved by continually looking to the Word for guidance, not running away with the thoughts that torrent of the Jordan River will encourage, but stepping back, looking to the Word, and looking to it for guidance occurs, and the priests then put their feet in the water, the way then can become clear and we can see our way through the situation. The scripture declared, "We have not passed this way before." The life of spiritual practice is ever new. It's always new. It's always inviting us onward and inward into areas we have not yet been. And while we may never have walked this way before, we can certainly rest in the knowledge that the Word has gone before us and knows every step that we need to take. And so it can lead us safely and securely on our inner journey to wholeness. The ark is to go before the people. And when we are willing to be led by the Word, it makes the way clear for us. And it draws with it all the goods and truths of the Lord's kingdom stored up in our memory, bringing them across the Jordan into our very heart and life. Amen.